Well, we switched things around a little bit. So I hope this new style, this new format works well for you. But we're trying to be more active in the way we do our prayer life together, the way we share the offering. And I just wonder if any of you ever get a chance to listen to Light Radio. And if you do, you may have heard a short announcement from time to time, a word of encouragement. And if you know anything about Kids Alive, then you hear the voice of Doug Hoffman. I don't know the first time I heard Doug or met. It's been years now. And Doug has had a ministry working with children in the north end of Burlington. And I have no idea, Doug. You'll tell us, I suppose, some of the details. But I can't think how many years I've had an opportunity to hear Doug. And he was just talking about an economy of words as we were chatting before the worship service this morning, saying how hard it is when you have 55 seconds to get your message across. And when you're on radio, you have to think differently. It's not how many words you speak. It's not about the volume or the capacity. It's what not to say that becomes important. Well, Doug, come on up here. This is Doug Hoffman from Kids Alive. And Doug, you were asking if there's a clock. And yep, there's a clock right up here. And I don't know if you all can have ever seen this. There's one in the very back. And you notice who the clock is for. You don't get to see it. That's for me. So that determines how long you can go when you're the speaker up front. So that's all you have to worry about. And it's not, you have a lot more than 55 seconds today, Doug. So I think that's a good thing. Yeah. I also just let you all know, if you feel so inclined, especially during our last song there, if you'd like to come up and find some rhythm instruments, there are blocks, there are sticks, there's sandpaper here. Of course, it's pretty well smoothed out by now. It's been used a lot, but if you want to rattle, shake, rattle, rock and roll, there's an opportunity for you to join in that childlike sense of wonder. It's here, William. You can help yourself. In fact, let me pick out a couple blocks for you. I'll just give those to you now so you can have those a little later. And if you like something that Doug says, and you can say amen or just, yeah, unless it's too disconcerting for him, I've really set you up well. Yeah. I'm sure you'll thank me, Doug.
Can I give him a timeout if he gets out of hand?
Yes. Doug Hoffman, thanks so much for coming to be with us today.
Thank you for having me. Right. I do want to say one thing to you, okay, since you were up here. I don't know if it's a good thing or not, but you reminded me of my dad. Yeah, he's in Pennsylvania, and he's just survived his second stroke. But he thinks like this, okay, the Bible sort of guarantees us 70 years. It says, you know, we get 70 years, and maybe if we're strong enough, healthy enough, then more. So my dad's 83, right? So he says, okay, I got my 70 in, and now I'm over that. So I'm 13 years over that, so I'm actually 13 years old. And so he acts like it, too. Of course, he's always done that, driven me crazy, and sometimes I'm glad he's 450 miles away. But I love him anyway, all right? And it's strange. I walk in here, and I didn't expect it to feel like old home week, but then I see Cindy Rickson over here. And, well, no emphasis on the old, all right? But Cindy, she was a part of Kids Alive way back in the beginning. She helped launch this thing, bring her guitar, lead the worship. And for that length of time, for the first 2, 3, 4 years, we did almost everything outside, outdoors, right there in the heart of the old North End. We attracted a lot of attention, a lot of kids. So I want to acknowledge that, Cindy. This is a surprise. And David over here in the green shirt, he's part of our staff, and we'll get to you a little later, David, all right? All right. But it is good to be here today. Little background on myself. My wife and I rolled into Burlington back in 1983, all right? We were both 6 years old, so do the math. Yeah, that was a joke. And we pastored Jubilee Gospel Church, little storefront in the old North End. It was just her and I. I don't recommend starting a church this way, but it's the way we did it. And after about a dozen years ministering to people whose lives have just been devastated by sin, you know, multiple divorces, alcoholism, you know, you name it. And it just seemed like, you know, how to get through, right? That's always the question. How to get through. And in prayer one day, the Lord said, well, you know, reach them as children. Maybe they won't make the same mistakes as their parents did. Well, that's a good idea, all right? So I put that on the shelf and just like, okay, God, nice idea. I hope somebody does that. Because at the time, I did not feel like I wanted another ministry. I had a small church, a small ministry. I didn't need another small church, small ministry. So I just tried to ignore it. But here's your message for today. After I do this, we can all go home, all right? About the leading of the Lord. You heard the leading of the Lord. The pastor probably talks about that. Let me tell you about the leaning of the Lord. Does that hurt?
No.
No, it doesn't hurt. So God tells you something to do, and he says, Pastor, I want you to do this. And you can say no. You have that ability to say no. But he keeps his hand there. It doesn't hurt. But if I kept my hand there the rest of the church service, the rest of the day, follow you home at night, you're trying to get ready to go to bed tonight, my hand's still there. After a while, you're going to feel like doing something very unchristian, right? And that was my experience. God said, you do this. I said, maybe. But it didn't go away. And for 2 years, it didn't go away. And the unction got very, very annoying. Until finally I had a choice, either do what God said or find a rubber room somewhere. And I got bounced off the walls for the rest of my life. Because when God tells you to do something, and isn't that, you know, he sent the word down from heaven and then it hit a storm cloud and ricocheted off. And it was meant for your neighbor, but it got to you instead and now you're stuck with it. No, God told you to do something, guess what? It's for you. And you might say, I can't, I won't. Or whatever excuse we have. But for me anyway, it doesn't go away. That's one way I know something's of God. It sticks with me. So 18 years ago now, we pulled the trigger on Kids Alive. Started off with 10 kids. And just to let you know what God has done wonderful things in the lives of these kids. These days, we get anywhere from 40 to 50 kids, and most of them, I'm trying to think, out of all those kids, I think there's like two or three that go to church on a Sunday morning. But our target group of kids are those who are unchurched, whose parents do not go to church. That's our target group. In the beginning, we used to canvass the streets before Kids Alive. Nowadays, kids invite kids. And that's encouraging to me because you know kids will not invite their friends to something that's lame. And it won't do it. And to describe Kids Alive briefly, I kind of call it like an ongoing VBS. Most of the music we use comes from past VBSs that they put out. So we have our worship time, which is lively. We have a teaching time. Right now we got the teens in one area. We got the preschoolers in another area, and everybody that's in between is in another area with me in the main gym. And so we have our teaching time, a lot of props. It gets messy sometime. I'm going to say this now, okay, David? I was waiting till later. For instance, yesterday, teaching on pride and humility, all right, we're looking at Daniel. Daniel was a young guy, and yet being a young guy, he honored God. And if you honor God, God will honor you. So that's the whole emphasis in looking at Daniel is his age and despite his age, what God did through him. Well, we're talking about pride and humility, and I had two cans of pineapple, and I called David up. He was in on this from the beginning, and I called a boy up. I guess he's about 8 years old, 9 years old, named Connor. Gave him the can of pineapple and a spoon. Okay, this is yours. Enjoy. Well, he looks at it, and he says, I can't open it. Oh, you can't. Well, you know, do something. He said, I need help. Ah, man, he just nailed it right there. He said, I need help. Now, that is the beginning of greatness with God. To admit you need help, that's humility. All right? So we had somebody standing by with one of those handheld twisty can openers. And The guy I gave it to help me with this, he's about like 22, 23 years old, Nate, right? And unknown to me, he had never seen one of those before. So he's off in a corner asking another one of our staff, how does this work? What do you do with this? Now, I know Nate was a big outdoors guy, so I figure he would have seen one of these before. But he didn't know what it was. But by the time I called on him, you know, he could do it. All right. So he opened the can and Connor enjoyed his pineapple. Then I turned to David and said, "There's your can of pineapple." He said, "Good." I said, "You want some help opening that?" "No. No help out." "No, I don't want any help." All right. So David here, he represented pride, right? "I'll do this myself. I don't need your help, God's help, nobody's help." So he takes this hammer. And I didn't expect you to use the claw part of the hammer, but that was classic. And he takes the claw part of the hammer to the can of pineapple, and he starts wailing away at this thing, and pineapple juice all over the place, all over the front row with the kids, and they're bailing out, and there's pineapple on the table, dripping off the table on the floor, until finally, and you did cut yourself too, man, sacrifice for the ministry, right, for the word of God. And finally he gets a piece of pineapple out of there. Now, I told the kids, you know, you want to go through life thinking you don't need God, do everything yourself. This is what happens. This is what happens to you in life. I mean, it's a mess. And what God had prepared for you, the good things that he prepares for you, you'll mess it up. You'll mess it up. I mean, the pineapple's all over the place, man. You got slivers of metal in the pineapple. It just doesn't work. So we need to humble ourselves and let God be God in our lives. So that's the kind of stuff we do, and my wife accuses me of making things a mess, so other people have to clean it up. All right. But we have a lot of fun, and our focus is really to teach kids about Jesus. Know Jesus, love Jesus, follow Jesus. It's all about the person and character of Jesus. And it's one way I love children's ministry. It's not very complicated. At this point in my life, I just love the simplicity, and that's what one of the words of the songs here today. The simplicity of the gospel and just sharing it with the kids. And we have a unstructured, I almost said unsupervised, unstructured playtime. Yeah, they would like an unsupervised playtime. I'm sure they would. Shooting basketball, playground, or whatever. And then we have lunch, hand out a lot of goodies, and go home. About 3 years ago now, we lost our building in the Old North End. That building had been ours for 20-some years, doing Sunday church. And at the end of 2005, my wife and I left the Sunday morning ministry to concentrate on the Saturday morning ministry with the kids. I mean, by that time, we knew this is what God wanted us to do. So that's what we're doing. And all our focus now is on Kids Alive. We had this storefront in the Old North End. Kids would come in off the street. It was great. Landlord finally sold the building. She'd been wanting to do that for decades. She was a very nice Catholic lady, gave us a lot of breaks, left us do what we wanted to do, and I always blessed her for that. When she finally sold the building, the new owners decided to kick everybody out. There were four apartments, us, everybody, gone. So we had to find another place, and the North Avenue Alliance Church stepped in and said, you know, if you need to use our gym, our playground, our facility, until you find another place, you can have it. So they're about a mile out of the neighborhood, but we haven't missed a beat. And, you know, our first Saturday in the North Avenue Alliance Church, you know, I'm thinking to myself, okay, we're in a time of transition. We're between things right now, so God's going to give us a break, right? There were more kids than I had ever seen before on that first Saturday. And it's like God's telling me, you know, I'm not nervous about this. Just keep going, all right? So last summer we had a 15-passenger van, but last summer we got a good deal on two 15-passenger vans. The taxi company Benways, if you heard of them, they folded up. We had some staff and some dads that worked for them, so we got dibs on two vans. So we have these two vans that we take out in the streets every Saturday and bring the kids in. All the kids now, we have to bring them in, but they keep coming. They keep coming. So we've been in the North Avenue Alliance Church now for almost 3 years. And as I said, God is still blessing. So, and when you deal with a human being for like over half their lives, a growing, you know, energetic human being, you see what God is doing in their lives. If you knew Michaela, we've known her since she was about 5 or 6. Very energetic, very into everything, very like, give me, it's all about me, I want this, I want that. Well, last Saturday, she just destroyed somebody's camera, hundreds of dollars of damage. And I hated to discipline her. Sometimes, though, you got to bring some discipline. But who shows up at my door, when was it, Friday, was Michaela and the girl that had the camera that was damaged. They had patched things up, and Michaela had offered to pay off this camera with her allowance for as long as it took. Now, the other girl did not take her up on it, but I was so impressed with that, all right? We just kind of like, you know, I was like, hey, you know, this is good. And I even told her, you know, I'm really impressed that you would do this. And when you see little things like that in the lives of kids, you know, that's I call it Jonathan. It's encouraging. It's Jonathan and David, they encouraged each other. That's a Jonathan, and that's an encouragement to know that something is getting through. Something's getting through. So basically, that's Kids Alive is a Saturday morning church for kids of all ages. We have them from 4 through 14, 15. We do special events during the year. Christmas, of course, is our biggest event. Kids get gifts. There's one church in the area that buys gifts for the kids. Older kids get gift cards. Parents get gift cards for the season. So we get a lot of parents coming out to our Christmas party. And I make sure I move from the manger to the cross really quick. All right? So they get the gospel at Christmas time. It is a great outreach. Now, what would be the second biggest event of the year? Easter, right? And you say that as adults in adult church. But in kids' church, the second biggest event of the year, at least for us, is school supply day. All right? So as soon as school is over, I start plugging for school supplies. You'll hear me on the radio. You know, I do send out email updates. We are on Facebook. All that information is downstairs, by the way. There's a display down there, and you can get information. And I do recommend checking out our Facebook page. There's a ton of pictures on there and a lot of updates on there. So school supply day comes in August. It brings out a lot of kids, brings out a lot of parents. They want to make sure their kids' stuff makes it home. And we get to meet a very real need in the lives of these families. And I just love it when God's people come together, because all our school supplies are donated by area churches and area individuals. And when somebody tells me the body of Christ isn't doing anything in our area, I tell them, you need to come to Kids Alive for a while, all right? Because this is proof that God's people are doing something on the streets, all right? So Easter, yes. Easter, third biggest event that we do, and everybody gets Easter goodies. And we go through the whole Passion of Christ, of course. And all I want to say about that is, when we talk about the crucifixion of Jesus and his suffering, the preschoolers are in another place. So I feel that we are at liberty to describe what Jesus went through without holding anything back. I know these kids at home, they watch horror movies, they watch slasher flicks, they watch blood and gore. So what am I going to do on Easter? Just hold back because, oh man, this is going to be too bloody. They can't, you know, maybe they can't handle what Jesus went through on the cross. No. It's the most important message they will ever hear in their lives. So they're going to hear it. This is what Jesus did for you. And one of our staff has pictures of one of the Jesus movies that was out, you know, little scenes from the movie about the crucifixion. And yeah, they need to know what Jesus did for them. And before I go any further, sometimes the highlight of my week is Friday visitation. Every Friday after school, we visit the kids in their homes, knock on the door. We get to meet the parents, put a face on the ministry. We get to meet the kids on their own turf. If there's any issues to be dealt with, that's when I like to deal with the issues with the parents. And we meet the kids. It's funny when you knock on a child's door for the first time and, you know, they open the door and look at you like, why are you here? I'm here to see you. How you doing? And we have papers that have a puzzle on it, a Bible treasure hunt. You know, they can win prizes and all that. That's kind of like my in with the kids. Oh, yeah, here's a paper. Going to see you tomorrow. And most of the time, visitation is just like that. Am I going to see you tomorrow? Yeah, okay. How you doing? Oh, we're fine. Sometimes, though, you get to talk to a parent, pray with them. You get to meet, you know their needs. Sometimes it goes a little deeper. But it's all about establishing relationships in their lives, getting to know them. They're getting to know you. And especially in the summer when we go door to door, sometimes we meet kids in the parks, playgrounds, and, you know, the word gets out. And so I'm a big believer in just getting out in the streets. I call it getting your face out, such as it is, right? But getting out in the streets and just meeting the kids. And, of course, I just don't go up to a kid cold and talk to them. But if they're with somebody that is part of Kids Alive, then we have, you know, a major discussion right there in the streets. So we're also meeting the kids outside of Kids Alive, and we do a lot outside of Kids Alive. We raise money to send kids to camp. There's a great camp up in Irisburg, Vermont, and we get the kids out of the neighborhood for a week, get them away from all their so-called friends for a week, get them immersed in a Christian atmosphere for a week, and I'll tell you, camp is just, it does a powerful thing in a child's life. I asked Jesus into my life when I was 8 years old in a church camp up in the hills of Pennsylvania. So I'm a big believer in camp. And so we raised money to send kids to camp, get them out of the neighborhood for a while, and they come back changed. Again, all that information is downstairs. You'd like to check it out. So let me just say that's a brief synopsis of what we do. And over the years, some churches have called me up and said, hey, I got a whole bunch of food here. Could you distribute this? Oh, yeah, sure. North Avenue Alliance Church just 2 years ago did a food drive. Boxes and mass mountains of food in their sanctuary. They were going to divide it up between us and two other ministries. And for some reason, the two other ministries bailed out. You want all this food? Okay. It actually literally filled up a 15-passenger van. Seats, floors, everything. We spent a whole day distributing that food throughout the old North End. It was great. And families get to see the love of Christ. All right. I always emphasize that with them. This came from that church. This came from this church. This came from Christians, area Christians. And, you know, we got them all. There are some parents that always have their hands out, and then there are others that are very, very grateful. I once bumped into a mom who was going through the recycle bins there on the streets of Burlington looking for bottles to redeem, and I had no idea this family was in such a need. She doesn't talk about it. She doesn't want to talk about it. She has some dignity. She has some pride. So we talked for a while, and now I got that filed away, you know? And if ever we can help her out, we do. We do. So there's more to this ministry than just kids, but children are the focus. That is our focus. Introducing them to Jesus. Amen. Well, anything else comes to mind, I will share it with you. But I want to take you to Matthew chapter 19. Again, our brother here, he set you up already, because he's already shared this scripture with you. Very familiar portion of scripture. Matthew 19, verse 13. Then were there brought unto him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, allow the little children to come to me. Forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Do you know that God can do more than one thing at a time? Yeah. Because we as great men and women of God, you know, we are called to reach the children. Yeah. And then we start ministering to children and find out that God's using them to get to us. You know, that there are things in our own lives that they bring out of us that God needs to deal with. But if you want to know how God intended the world to be, just watch how children interact with the world, right? I mean, every animal is supposed to be petted, right? And that's the way God made the world. It's supposed to be a big petting zoo out there. It's supposed to be. That's the way God designed it. Snow, for instance. Oh, everybody loves snow, right? The more the merrier, right? So while we're shoveling and mumbling under our breaths and trying to, you know, get to where we're going, the children are out there sledding and tubing and building snow forts and snowmen. And one day I looked at that and I thought, that's the way God intended for winters to be. We created roads, we created cars, we created all this other stuff. God just created the snow and said, hey, have fun with it. Have fun with it. So children have taught me a few things over the years. Excuse me. And one of the things that they've taught me is God gives grace to grow up. Now, children are cute, right? And it's a good thing they are. Because children can be very wasteful. Did you know that? Kids can be very wasteful. I remember my daughter is now 16, and my wife and daughter are going to be here at the second service. But she's 16 years old now. But I remember she was about 2 years old, three maybe. Got her some stickers, Clifford the Big Red Dog. Oh, yeah, she loved that. So I got these stickers. We went home with the stickers, and I'm thinking, okay, she's going to put these stickers on the paper, build a nice little scene with Clifford and all of his buddies. Well, you know what she did? She got these stickers and got a piece of paper and just... I'm thinking, that doesn't make any sense. It's so random. I mean, what a waste of stickers. But she had fun. She had fun. And children can be very wasteful. You know, they stick stuff in their mouths and then spit it out and tear this and destroy that. But do they do that on purpose? Do they do that just to be mean? No, they're discovering their world. All right, they're just discovering things. You know, there's a bug crawling on the pew, so they walk up and look at it and pick it up and stick it in their mouth. All right, they're just discovering their world. And how many of us here in this room have ever walked with Jesus before? You know, like in another life or something. I mean, we haven't, have we? This is it. This is our first time walking with Jesus and trying to walk by faith and forgive people and be givers and do all the things that Jesus has told us to do. And sometimes we're going to get it wrong. Sometimes we're going to mess up. And sometimes we're going to go, man, you know, I heard from God on that one and I didn't obey. I messed it up. But you know, you get another shot. That's what grace is all about. You teach a little child to walk, they take a step and fall over. So what do? Oh, you're stupid. You'll never learn how to walk. No, you don't do that unless you yourself were brought up under that atmosphere, right? And there's one home every time I go into, the siblings are always like, oh, you're stupid. You didn't know that? Somebody asks a simple question is, boy, are you dumb? Now, it doesn't come from the parents. It's coming from the siblings, but the siblings, the kids, they have to get it from somewhere, right? And we never do that at Kids Alive. Like, you ask a simple question, okay, you're going to get an answer. All right? It's a legitimate question, right? Kids ask questions. They're discovering their world, and God would never say, oh, you're stupid. You need to get your act together. Jesus on the cross says that God gives us grace to grow, to explore, to get to know this new world that we're involved in, this walking with Jesus, this life in the kingdom, because we've never been this way before. Kids also have a desire to trust. They instinctively know they don't know things, and they look to adults. You know, help me out here. You're supposed to know something, you know. And so they look to us to teach them. They look to us to be led. They look to us for guidance. And they believe what you say. Now, as kids grow up, you can, you know, bust their chops and, you know, kid around with them, but little kids, they put weight to your words. I remember one girl, her first time at Kids Alive, and I think it was her last, too. I'm up there teaching. She's sitting on the floor right there, and she is focused. I mean, Pastor, you know when people are listening and then when people are listening. This girl was listening. She was, like, zeroed right in, and it actually scared me. I almost went blank when I looked at that. Because this girl is putting weight to my words, man. This is an awesome responsibility I've got here, all right? It sunk in at that point. She was looking for something, and she was hearing something. She was focused. And don't you and I, as people of God, want to trust God? We want to trust Him. We know we can't make it on our own. We know we need guidance. We know we need to be led. And the number one question all Christians have is, can I trust God? Can I trust Him in this situation? Can I trust Him in that situation? Can I trust Him over here? And Jesus on the cross is again, God saying, you can trust me. I like to tell preteen and teenage girls, you know, you're going to meet a lot of guys. They're going to tell you, oh, I love you. I love you. You need to come with me because I love you. And I try to tell them, don't take their word for it. You know, you got to get to know them. Back off a little bit. Give it some time. Jesus on the cross, however, you know God loves you. How do I already know that? Because He proved it. He went to the cross. He died on the cross. It's proof. You know that He loves you. It's a done deal. So you know you can trust Him. You know you can trust Him. And Jesus, He knows our state, right? He knows we can't save ourselves. That's why He went to the cross. So He wants to be trusted. So kids want to trust. We want to trust, and we can trust. Trust God. What he said in the Bible, He will do. He's not just busting our chops. He's not kidding around. It's like, God, you said this, so I'm going to go do this. And then when it's messed up, God goes, just kidding. No. God is very serious when it comes to us and our lives and getting through this thing we call life and dealing with sin, dealing with people. He is very serious, so serious enough that He sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. Another thing that kids are quick to forgive. You ever had this situation? Your child and somebody else's child are playing and suddenly they're both crying because somebody hit somebody and somebody did somebody. So you rush in there and you're having it out with the other parent and you're having a very intense, let's call it that way, intense conversation with this other parent and you're having it out. Next thing you know, you turn around and the two kids are playing again. All right? You're still fighting, but they just patched it up and they're okay. They're quick to forgive. They may be fighting one moment, the next day, it's good. Now, why is that? Leads me right to my fourth and last point. Kids value relationships above everything else. Somebody once said, kids don't care what you know until they know you care. You know, that's very true. They value relationships above everything else. And I pity some dads. I know, you know, things happen, life happens. Occasionally, I'll get into the prison and speak. And when those guys know that I work with kids, the only thing they want to talk about after the message is their kids that are on the outside. They want to talk about my message. They don't want to talk about what a great pastor and preacher I am. They want to talk about their kids. They miss their kids. And yes, they miss wives and girlfriends. That's a close second, but it's always the kids because they know they're missing out on something that they can never get back. Their kids are growing up out there without them. Kids value relationships, and a guy can show up in a child's life and dump all kinds of good stuff on them, spend money on them, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't mean as much as if they were just there, just to be there. To be there and to be with them. We had one family, three children, mom, dad, and grandma. They were in an apartment, got kicked out of the apartment, lived in a shelter, found another apartment, got kicked out of that apartment, lived in a hotel for a while. Then they got another apartment, and then they got kicked out of that and had to move out of the area. And yet through all this, those three kids were some of the nicest kids that we had. Yeah, you know, they had issues sometimes because kids are kids, you know. But they were some of the more together kids that we ever had. And I thought, well, why is this? I mean, their home life is just in shambles. But my opinion is the reason that they were so well-adjusted was because despite their circumstances, the family was still intact. All right? Mom, dad, grandma, they're always there. We'll always be there. And that is what they valued above everything else. And how much of the Bible is about relationships, right? Yeah, you got the law of Moses in the front, But once you get to the new covenant, it's all about knowing Jesus, being like Jesus, trusting Jesus. It's all about relationships. Because Jesus, if he was just to establish a religion, he didn't need to go to the cross. He could have done it without suffering. If he just wanted to give us a bunch of rules and regulations to follow, he didn't need to go to the cross for that. I mean, we already had that, right? We already had the law of Moses. And we were, you know, the human race was doing a great job of that. But he went to the cross because he wanted to establish relationships with us. He wanted us to know him. He wanted us to be a part of his family. And he wanted to live not only around us, but within us through the Holy Spirit. He wanted that relationship. And the only way that could happen is if he took care of the sin problem. Then he could establish. I look at it, the cross takes care of my relationship with God. The empty tomb takes care of my relationship with people. Because if I know that I am resurrected with Christ, then, hey, you know, I'm guaranteed heaven. Yeah, you can give me names and spit on me, and I'm not going to like it, but I'm not going to change anything. I'm still a child of God, right? Still a child of God. So under the new covenant, it is all about knowing him. Knowing him. And that relationship heals us, forgives us, gives us that grace to go on. After all, Peter really messed it up and denied Jesus three times. When Jesus finally caught up with him, what did he say? Do you love me? That's all I want to know, Peter. Do you love me? Yeah, I still love you. Well, then it'll be all right. Feed my sheep. Be fine. Basis for greatness in the kingdom is all about relationships, and I really believe that. And that is an emphasis with us, with the kids, the kids alive. Get to know Jesus. He's alive. He wants to know you, and get to know him too. So I want to thank you all for allowing me to come today and share with you today. It's always a pleasure for me to get to know other believers in the body of Christ in this area. And can I pray with you right now? All right. Lord, I thank you for this light in this town, right here, this church. And all the lights, Lord God, that are sitting in these pews right now. May your light ever shine in this area, God, through this church. Give this church vision for themselves and the resources that they need, God, to follow that vision. I thank you, God, that they have caught a vision for the kids all the way in Burlington. But God, I know it's not Burlington kids in and of itself that they care about, but they care about people, and they care about children all over, and they care about children and people knowing you. They want you to be glorified. They want Jesus to be lifted up. So I ask your blessing upon this place and upon the people in this place. And I thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
So this is Doug Hoffman. There's a display downstairs that will show you a little bit more about the ministry Kids Alive and what they do in the north end of Burlington. I just want to say thank you, Doug. I think you helped me, even after a long winter, get snow again. Thank you. I'm liking that a lot. Thank you. You really were the right one to come be with us. One of the reasons we wanted to have you is because we love to see what others are doing in the area. And if we're going to be in partnership and ministry with others, we always want to invite people to come and be with us so we can attach a name and a face. And now when we hear you on the radio or hear about Kids Alive, we're going to think, Doug Hoffman, he came to be with us. So we're so grateful that you were willing to take time out of your schedule to come and be with us on this Sunday morning. So we want to bless you, Doug, and the ministry that you're involved in. And we hope this is the beginning of a long and productive partnership together as God works through you to touch the lives of, even as you touched our lives and the child in us. Right, William? That God will continue to multiply the ministry that he has through you in the North End. So blessings. And thanks again, Doug, for being with us. Tim?